These people refuse. This needs to love God stronger. Do I love God more? Do I love me? I call it the street Jesus.
Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in sultry Johnston Proper. I don't know, sound right.
No.
I don't sound. It's not really sultry. It's not sultry in here.
Not at all.
No, got it. I've sullied the show already. All
well
right.
Done.
Hey, here's what we got going on the show tonight. We got what is Jesus talking about? Herrick, what's the tease on what Jesus talking about this week?
Yeah, so Jesus does one of his descriptions of the kingdom of heaven, and it sounds like it's just a whole ball of corruption. So we're going to talk through that one.
Hold on, Phil. How many of you guys are looking at your phone right now?
Dan
Hudson, Buva.
Ahem.
I'm going to put on a radio program.
Corruption,
hey, man.
Corruption.
We pull it together.
I was preparing myself for something later.
That's too.
I was not.
Thank you very much.
I was not.
I was preparing content for the show.
I was not.
If you would not have called me out, everything would have been okay.
It's on the camera. There's a video camera right on you.
I see it.
Wow.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, right. For all we know, he was watching himself on YouTube.
Which is a good chance.
There I am. Hello.
You guys don't realize how often I do that.
I'm always this pretty. All right. Anyway,
man,
so
nice.
We're going to talk about that. Also, we got actually, let's just do this. Buva, hook me up. There seems to be some controversy with the halftime show at the Super Bowl. Go ahead, Buva.
Hey, luckily, I was looking at my phone and preparing this so that when you called me out immediately.
Hey, you could have done it before the show started, right? We broadcast at like 10 at night. There's plenty of time in the wee hours to pull yourself together.
I don't know if I'd call 10 at night the wee hours, man.
No, I know beforehand.
Those aren't the wee hours either.
They're tiny.
You're wrong.
They're tiny.
Okay, so I was Facebooking recently, and came across an article that someone had posted, and it kind of threw me, and I wanted to kind of talk about it on the show. So here's the header: ex-Christian Katy Perry promotes dark magic and LGBT agenda at 2015 Super Bowl halftime show. So it starts off with a passage quoted, which is, "When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness," which is Luke 22:53. In the recent years, the Super Bowl, almost always the highest rated and most watched television broadcast on the planet, has given over its famed halftime show to trumpet the cause of the New World Order and the Illuminati. And as referenced in our opening Bible verse at the top of the story, the Illuminati knows that it is their hour, and they are defiantly out in the open. So then it has a picture of Katy Perry. She is, if you didn't get a chance to see it, she is wearing a flames dress, like she looks like she's fire, and she's riding a giant golden somewhat tiger with really big red beady eyes.
Yep.
So then it quotes her song. It says, "So you want to play with magic? Boy, you should know what you're falling for. Baby, do dare to do this because I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Are you ready for, a perfect storm, because once you're mine, there's no going back." So it quotes that.
Yep.
2 years ago, you had Beyonce flashing the Illuminati triangle sign during Super Bowl 48. The year before that, you had Madonna as a New Age goddess gyrating on a satanic throne. And last year, you had Bruno Mars shouted Illuminati now during his performance.
I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch that either. This year, we had ex-Christian Katy Perry providing the entertainment for us. Perry, whom you may recall, famously renounced her Christian upbringing and has this to say about what her faith is like today. "I don't believe in a heaven or hell or an old man sitting on a throne. I believe in a higher power bigger than me because that keeps me accountable." She goes on to basically say that she's not a Christian, and she still feels like she has a deep connection with God, just does not affiliate with Christians. So let's see how former Christian Katy Perry did compared to previous years. Katy Perry opened riding a golden monster with glowing red satanic eyes, singing the lyrics to her hit Dark Horse, partially quoted in the photo above. Read those words closely. It's the devil speaking, and he is coming for you if he can. She performed her LGBT fan favorite, I Kissed a Girl, leading as many young women as will follow her into experimentation with the LGBT perverted lifestyle. And Perry closed with another pro-LGBT song called Firework, where she floated over the audience riding a shooting star with the LGBT rainbow at its tail. The New World Order and Illumination agenda is being hammered into our children at a feverish rate, using catchy lyrics and a nonstop droning drum beat with overwhelming power chords. Ending with parents, protect your children if you love them. All of this junk, every bit of it, is poisoning their minds and turning them away from God. Katy Perry is the perfect poster girl for the New World Order because she used to be a Christian and now mocks the God she once served. Just like Lucifer did as he was becoming Satan. So.
Yeah. Now, I'll say I agree with pieces of it.
Yeah.
But a hint of it. But then they just like, just get weird. They just go crazy and insane and to the point that it's kind of embarrassing to go, oh yeah, we're brothers.
Yeah.
Maybe I went a little far there, but, you know, they just go a little far, I think.
Well, I think they go a lot far.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think they go a lot far.
It's much more than a little.
Here's the thing, is like, you've yanked, if you have a love for God's word, and you say, and I look at it and say, this is supposed to communicate something to me, I'm supposed to know God deeper, I'm supposed to know about him and his character, you can't be yanking crap from wherever you want. Like, the opening quote. What was it? Luke 22:53. When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. What's the context?
He's talking to the religious leaders of the time.
Just
in the temple. It's right before his crucifixion. This is like 30 to 33 AD-ish. So in all of the 2,000 years of history since then, Jesus prepared us for this exact moment. He's letting us know that Katy Perry's coming.
Yeah.
That's what they're insinuating.
I'm about to get arrested and taken in front of the high priest, but also I intend to warn you about Katy Perry's halftime show. That's what I'm saying. You best
couldn't use Super Bowl because it's trademarked, so he had to say the big game coming up.
The big game.
It's stupid. Okay, and so let's follow. So the other thing is that they're talking about she was entering on the...
On
the golden monster. All right. So I think it's trying to harken back to a Daniel 7. And here's the truth. If that's what it is, okay, if this is a beast emerging from, first of all, it's not emerging from the sea. That's that's problematic. Second of all, do you remember the descriptions of these beasts? Let me give you a go. So a lion that had an eagle's wings, and it looks like its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it. Another beast, a second one like a bear, raised up on one side, 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. I look back, another beast like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back. The beast had 4 heads. And then a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So now here's the deal. If this is supposed to be the beast, either Daniel did too much of the peyote when he was writing down the description, or this ain't the right beast. If they're pointing to say this is the guy, it can't be the right one.
Are they referring to Katy Perry as the beast? Is that what's happening?
No, the monster,
the golden monster she was riding in on.
Oh, I mean, if you looked at that Katy Perry, she looked like Bam Bam Bigelow from the WWF wrestling. It was the exact same getup.
Wait, so let me ask. So just for my understanding, so that the Daniel 7 references, is that not traced back to like civilizations?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah,
each beast is traced back to like an actual culture and a civilization that had risen and fallen.
It'd be like if in the 1950s you described this great conflict between the eagle and the bear and how it involves a missile crisis, everyone's going to immediately think, oh, yeah, the United States and Russia.
Yeah.
Because those were the national symbols.
Right.
So likewise, Daniel's referring to what are known as national symbols for his day.
Right. So if you're going to take that thing seriously, if you're going to take it as if it was not a symbolic discussion and it was a literal beast, it's missed. It's missed the mark.
Yeah.
So even through that interpretation, it tells me you have a low view of Scripture, because I would say that can't be the guy.
Hollywood's always messing with our symbols.
And that was the other thing. She was when she was on the star and accompanied by the LGBT symbol rainbow. It's God's rainbow.
Yeah.
It's God's rainbow.
Exactly. You can't mess with that.
That's a pretty, un-God-sized beast. I mean, if I expected a literal beast, I would expect a beast now. You know what I'm saying? The Lord don't make some kind of halftime show beast.
Not four dudes running legs on something.
Yeah, I feel like
like
this
you
thing
saw
would...
the dudes underneath it, like, all right, now move the leg here.
This is
I'm
the
like,
best that Jesus could come up with? I don't think
yeah,
so.
That's Daniel 7. Daniel's just like, okay, and I didn't tell you with that last piece, there's actually four dudes that move the legs for it. But we're not going to write that down because the
they
symbolism
threw this thing
there
together
is
10
not
minutes
cool.
after the last play. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It was ready to go. I feel
it
like...
Has, it has big fiery red Satan eyes. It's like, no, those are just jewels. Like, I don't think that's really meant to be like, this is Satan eyes. It's like, really, man? So, this is your overreaction to the situation? Like, yeah, I'm sure that we can pull some truth out of that, and I'm sure that we can say some things about Katy Perry and some of the things that she's representing. But to jump to the conclusion that basically you're saying that she is bringing out, like, the revelation that happens and the acts that are happening there, and then the prophecy in Daniel 7, walking on a man-made mechanical beast onto a Super Bowl field, if that, yeah, exactly. If it comes back to you, that's what you think God's power or this end realized is, you and I are not talking about the same God.
Yeah.
We're not.
When the thing finished, I was looking at it through the eyes of, if my five-year-old daughter sitting next to me watching this, is she freaked out? Is she scared? Does suddenly a boob fall out like in the previous Super Bowls? I was actually quite impressed. Everybody was well covered. They were singing songs. Like, I wouldn't agree with the message of the words, but I'm talking about someone who's just not, you're just sitting like, it's just background music. They're like, yeah, this got a nice little beat. It looked happy. They had little dancing sharks. I love the sharks.
Those were adorable.
Those were great. Little
Ben and
little
I are
going to
get those suits.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
It was just, we look ridiculous. We look ridiculous, and it looks like we serve a very small God if these are the things that we care about, right? If we feel like the great foe of God is do it. This is the master plan. Now, granted, the great foe God is ultimately small in God. I get it, right? But like, to even count as some sort of foe, you would feel like you would come up with something better than this to dominate our belief in Jesus. Oh, hey, look at the technology there. Satan must be real and powerful. Like, I'm not seeing the connection, and I feel like it very much diminishes who our God is for us to be freaking out about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, we look stupid. Yeah. We look stupid and we make God look small when that's the kind of crap that we're freaking out about.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it made me sad when I was scrolling past it and I saw it. And I looked at it and I decided that I wanted to read it because obviously the title kind of jumped out at me a little bit. And then as I am reading through it, it made me sad because of what that represents. And I think you guys kind of hit it with there. You know, if that's what, you know, our Christian brothers and sisters are doing with their time, if that's what they've decided to hold on to is not... You know, not furthering the kingdom of God, and is not truly speaking about our God that we love and that loves us to other people and to lost people. It's about arguing with each other about whether or not a friggin' beast that is literally just metal.
There's no argument.
And yeah,
can you call another Christian brother an idiot and just be all right with it?
Well, the thing is, this is Satan's domain. I mean, I don't care what you look at, you will find pieces of Satan. Even in the church, you'll find. Yeah. Us doing dumb things, you know. I mean, I've done dumb things. Eh,
here, here.
Yeah, I mean,
I do them constantly. Hey.
So, yeah, we just look silly.
All right. Well, I feel like I'm going to watch the Super Bowl again next year. Probably.
We'll be checking for the Illuminati
if we're still
references.
Around.
The Illuminati.
Yeah. The beast has been put in motion.
Hey, okay, so maybe I'm opening up a can here that I shouldn't be. But can anyone give me a 1.5-minute description on what that is. What is the Illuminati? What is the New World Order? What does it mean? I have no clue. I honestly don't know. They're just words.
Okay, hold on. I'm trusting the Wikipedia for a quick answer.
Oh,
here,
man. All
here
right.
We go. The Illuminati, plural of Latin illuminatus, meaning enlightened, is a name given to several groups, both real and fictitious. Historically, the name refers to the Bavarian Illuminati, an Enlightenment-era society founded on May 1st, 1776. Conspiracy theorists have claimed that many notable people were or are members of the Illuminati. They were banned by the Bavarian ruler Charles Theodore with the encouragement of the Roman Catholic Church. The all-seeing eye or eye of providence is a symbol that is commonly associated with the Illuminati. You'll recognize a very similar symbol on the dollar bill.
Okay.
Here's the deal. I bought a Kit Kat bar with a dollar bill roughly 4 months ago.
Devil worshiper.
And I felt like there was a beast emerging. But really, that was just my belly rumbling for a Kit Kat bar. Rough times.
Daniel 7.
Daniel 7. Drop the mic.
I am hungry. Daniel 7.
All right. Anyway, stop that. Hey, listen here. If you're one of those people, knock it off. You think that you're rooting out evil, and you think that you're revealing truth to people. And the truth is you're making God look small, and you're making yourself look ignorant, and that you have no trust in Jesus. So just pull yourself together and knock it off.
And what you're doing is you got your neighbor in the backyard drinking a beer and thinking, I wonder if this Jesus thing is real, going, oh, no.
No.
Nah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll listen to Katy Perry, and I'll go kiss a girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're losing the argument by being weird.
Hey,
not like that example at all.
On a positive note, on a positive note, Lenny Kravitz was also singing that "I Kissed a Girl" song, so he could legitimately have done it.
Yeah. He redeemed it.
I kissed a girl and liked it, but I am a guy.
All right, fair enough. All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. You make mistakes in life. Watching the Super Bowl halftime and coming across as if the devil is in it is one of them. Listening to our show may be another, but not on the same scale. You can catch it. Look at our weekly clips. Go to Live from the Path. .org. Also, a quick shout-out to our sponsors, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower Team. If you go to EisenhowerTeam.com, you can find more information, search for houses. And Bob's your guy to help you in your buying or selling of a home in this market. Hey, Mike and I were talking, I think, last week or a couple weeks ago about refinancing. The rates are back down. They've dropped another 0.03 points, getting me back under 3% that I was looking for. I'm refinancing this week, boys, which means other rates are also positive. And so if you want to buy or sell a house, Bob can tell you what to do with your life.
I should do that.
Can you refinance if you rent?
Why? No, because you don't have a loan.
Well, that's too bad.
Try renegotiate your rent. They might go up.
I'm going to walk into the office of my apartment complex and be like, hey, interest rates are low. Let's talk. And just see what they say. Like, excuse me, sir, there's no loan involved and there's no interest rate involved. I want cheaper rent. And then just demand it and not leave until they give it to me.
No, I think that's going to work. Anyway, Bob doesn't handle that. But he handles other reasonable housing items. So
I bet he'd be there for me if I called him. Like, hey, Bob, will you stand there by me while I do this?
I bet he would do that.
He totally. He's that kind of guy. He would be I don't think this is a good decision, but I would do it.
Yeah, he's good people. All right, EisenhowerTeam.com. Also, Westfield Veteran Hospital. Go to WestfieldVetHospital.com. You can go to you can sign up online and set up your appointments there. But tis the season to make sure your pet's in good working order.
Will they give you a dirty look if your dog hasn't maybe been in for a few years?
Yes.
No, they're gracious people, yeah. And they will help. They help you with your problems.
Let's say my dog has growths, and
they'll probably talk about you.
How dirty your dog
in the back area, you know, where there's just them. They'll probably do some. Hey, man.
Yeah, I mean, people are people. I mean, everyone gossips. Yeah.
Dan, I meant my yes to the dirty look specifically to you, not anybody else. It's just going to be you, though.
Yeah,
they're wonderful people. Go to Westfield Veterinary Hospital. It's here in Johnson, WestfieldVetHospital.com. It's where I take my pets. Always had great experiences with them. So. Hook up with those folks, and even if you're not looking to buy or sell a home or take your dog or cat in and get some work done, make sure you give those guys a call. Send them an email, wait outside their door in the creepiness of night and say, hey, thanks for sponsoring Life and Path. It's what keeps us on the air. Very much appreciate it. All right, Dave Herrick, Jesus be saying stuff. What's he been talking about? Help me out.
All right, so the setup for this, Jesus has been going through a sermon. He's trying to describe to people what the kingdom of heaven is like, and one of the last comments that he makes to explain and illustrate it is apparently yeast. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took. She puts into 3 measures of flour until the whole batch was yeasty or leavened. So given that it was understood in his culture that yeast is very much a corruption agent, there's no way you can make unleavened bread when you've got flour that's had yeast in it, why would Jesus use this to illustrate it? I mean, what's he talking about? Why is the kingdom a symbolic of corruption? Ooh. Any thoughts?
Well, yeah, so he has used that same example referring to the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
beware the yeast of the Pharisees.
Beware the yeast of the Pharisees, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I suppose that would make sense in the light of that you've provided that as an example of how things can purvey and go through and I don't know, infiltrate the whole product itself. But I suppose there's a positive connotation to yeast, because it does actually it changes the substance.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the substance a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
It does get in evenly mixed. It does completely change your product, though, so that it becomes something different entirely than mm-hmm. perhaps what you were expecting. And so to me, that seems like a pretty good example. Mm-hmm. Which then I guess also causes me to think of the Pharisees' yeast in a different light. If you're going to give it those same type of qualities, mm-hmm. It is also changing the product that you believe that you are going to get into something different than what your expectations are. So even people that are were trying pre-Jesus, trying to follow Christ, or trying to follow what God had for his people, the yeast of the Pharisees was infiltrating that and making it something that it was not supposed to be. And on the other side, Jesus is doing that and has the same pervasiveness, but is changing into something that ultimately is the product that you want. That would be my reaction.
Yeah, I suppose if you're trying to explain something, if you take the connotations out of it and just find the best example of what you're talking about, you can certainly use one that generally has a negative connotation, right? Like, so if mm-hmm. I'm trying to say, look, we want to spread the word here about whatever, like a virus.
Mm-hmm.
Viruses are known for, you know, spreading pretty well. And I mean, what else could you use there that could drop the same connotation of catching on fire, multiplying very fast and spreading quickly, right? That's an excellent way to describe it, regardless of how you feel about viruses.
So you think, well, actually, didn't we talk about that last week? We talked about treating the word of God like we have the cooties. Who's I talking to with about that?
I don't know, Ben.
Oh, somebody else. Oh.
It was another guy.
No. Like, we were talking about
the radio program.
No, I remember what it was.
James.
No, we were talking about sometimes as people that follow Christ, we try to protect ourselves by staying out of situation as if Satan owns the cooties. And if you get too close to it, like sin and Satan will infiltrate your life with his cootie behavior. But the truth is, Jesus got the cooties, and his are better and stronger. And so where we shouldn't be hiding away in our houses hoping not to get the sin cooties, we should be Jesus cootieing out everywhere and spreading that business. And it's just an indication where, like, we act as if, like, we don't have the yeast that makes the better bread. And that the things that are going on around us, as opposed to protecting ourselves, we should be going out spreading the Jesus cooties. That was the note of the conversation. And so I suppose cooties always generally has the negative thing. But yeah, it was used positively in that regard. Like yeast cooties.
When I talk to you, I feel like I evangelize wrong.
Well, wow.
Like I know how I've been doing it, and then I hear how you do it, and I think, that's not how I do it at all.
I don't do the cooties.
I don't.
I was going to say, the word of the Lord is like that with a man who has cooties.
Do you want some?
Hey, man. Yeah. Thus saith Ben Foost. Hey, man, go spread your Jesus cooties. It's like, I don't remember that part of Bible camp, man. Like,
yeah, that ought to get the guy drinking the beer off the chair.
I didn't say you open with that line.
Just walk up to a guy. Hey,
just
man.
If it fits in the middle.
That's right.
You remember being in, like, third grade and talking about the cooties, right? Let's talk about Jesus cooties. It's just like, oh, dude, you're
Here's
creepy.
Here's a T-shirt. Come to our camp.
It's circle, circle, dot, dot. You can't get a cootie shot for this one.
If you kiss Jesus, he'll give you cooties.
Ah!
We'll pick you up in a bus.
Creepy. Hey, man, do you want to go to a camp for like 3 weeks?
We'll hang out on a mountain? Bus ministry. He can come get you.
It's going to be great.
All right, so if I understand you guys, then Ben, with your first comment, you're talking about a transformation type of a process in that, you know, what the substance was before the yeast is involved is like 180 degrees different than what it is after.
Yeah.
And then for Mike, you seemed like you were hammering on the just the way it spreads and grows and just takes over. Like a little bit introduced will just wildfire grow. Yeah.
Is unleavened bread all that they could eat, or wasn't that just for special times?
It was used for special times, but it's kind of like someone with a peanut allergy. They have a warning that says this product was prepared in a kitchen or a facility that may have had peanuts just because people are so allergic to it.
Right.
So the same sort of a deal is that ladies in Jesus' culture would often just avoid yeast in every possible way so that when those special times come around, their kitchen is still pure so that they can prepare that bread. Okay. So they would try to avoid it even throughout the rest of the year.
That was what I was thinking for the mm-hmm. contamination part.
Yeah.
Was it's only contaminating for the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It has to be unleavened.
Yeah. So during the other times out of the year, it's no longer unleavened bread. It's not really clean, but, you know, it's more in that neutral territory. It's just once it gets into your kitchen, then it's kind of, how do you say that your kitchen's clean now?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So. Oh, yeah. Any further comments?
I concur.
I agree.
In depth.
All right. Here's my question then. How's it live out then? If it's something that you introduce just a little bit of it and it'll take over, have you noticed that in your community? Have you noticed that in yourself?
No. I think. Oh, that was all. Just no?
Yeah, no commentary. No.
Okay. No commentary.
I feel like
okay.
I've tried that before and it failed.
All right.
I think that not on my own part, but I mean, obviously, just coming from God, yeah, I've seen that just because talking about if it is something that's really small that you can introduce and it changes it a big way. When it comes to what I've seen in people that have changed around me and people who have changed in my community, I could never say that I like did a lot in their lives or like I spent a lot of time talking with them or working with them or something like that. But like I've had conversations that have gone off and have gone crazy ways. Like I'll talk to one person and I run into them, you know, 1 month, and then they come back 3 months later and I haven't talked to them since. But stuff has changed so much, and that's a total God thing. And I'm not saying it started from where I was, but I barely even contributed, but something huge happened through God's power and through God working with that person. And so, I think that's more of a testament to God's power than anything that we can do, just because the fact that it's not about the amount that we put in and it's not about the amount that we push out, to people. It's the fact that like we throw anything in there and God can take that. God can run with it. God can change someone entirely. And I've seen that happen.
Mike, you were a nope.
Yeah. I mean, I'd really love to tell you a story of how that went down, but like, I feel like I've spent, you know, some time talking to people about Jesus and in various different applications, and they're like, yeah, no.
I disagree with you.
You disagree about what happens in my life?
Yeah, I do.
I'm confused.
So, me.
I'm not saying it never works, Bula.
You said no. Well, that I'm was your plain, like, bold-face answer was no.
Yeah, but...
And if it ever happened, that answer's incorrect.
In Jesus' example, like, you put the yeast to it, it's done. It's a done deal. It happens. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's not I'm not saying Jesus' metaphor ain't true. I'm just saying the way that to answer the question that you've asked, I would say I don't find that to be 100% true.
I don't know. I think yeast is a it's a slow moving yeast, right? It's a conversation here, it's a discussion over there, and you look back over 5 years and go, "Whoa, look what has happened." You know, I don't think it's like you throw out a "Hey, Jesus," and then next week 17 people come up to find out more about Jesus. It's very slow, if that makes sense. I mean, I looked out at, like, at church a couple weeks ago, and I thought, I don't know half the people here. Like, I don't know where they came from. I don't know, like, what happened. I don't know. People have friends who have friends who have friends who have friends. Hey, check out Jesus, you know. And there's some type of yeast thing happening. I can't explain it. I don't know. I mean, that's like a church attendance, which I realize we're talking bigger, God's kingdom, and a step further, becoming a follower. But that's where it's part of the yeast. I think it's part of the spreading. They come and they gather and they find about Jesus, and then they kind of jump on board.
I feel like you're putting a shine on it. That's like one guy out of 50, though, right? Like maybe the yeast is spreading and maybe it's catching on, but it's not to every person that you dropped it on, right? So like, my success rate of getting people to open up and accept a relationship with Jesus Christ is way worse than my failure.
Well, so I don't know if you're thinking of that correctly though. Like, when you're thinking in the context of dough and yeast and stuff, and you're still making a piece of bread, not a piece of bread that it covers the entire world and feeds everybody.
And you're right? Just a little piece of that piece of bread.
There's still an output, right? When we're talking about it, it's pervading the thing that existed. And then once the influence of it takes hold and starts to get spread around, it changes the basic nature of what it is. It doesn't even necessarily mean it's multiplying, right? Because like your piece of dough is still your piece of dough. You're talking about changing the basic nature of what it is. Multiplication, I think you start getting into questions about how Jesus describes the parables of the sower, right? Like there are instances of how things repeat. But like it's probably not the right thing to think that because you don't see things – you know, there are when it's proper soil and the seeds are sown, you see, you know, 100 times what you're supposed to get. But like that requires proper soil. That doesn't necessarily have much to do with seed thrower at times.
So basically you're more talking about was once the yeast is in there, that's when it changes the bread. Just because a guy walked by on the street with a bag of yeast doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to be changing for everybody in the building.
Yeah, it's not a contagion or an amoeba. Right, like it's just.
I framed it as a virus, which means that the way I described it is not going to work.
Yeah. I don't think that's the context of what she's talking about. I think it has to do with the fundamental change of the substance itself, and it pervades and it becomes something completely different, but different from what it started as, and it means the whole thing is that way. And think of the perspective that Jesus might be talking about here. Is you're talking about look at the nature of God's people prior to Him, and then if His kingdom is getting into that same group of God's people, and they're coming out of it, although cut from the same basic elements, with this element of Jesus and this kingdom of God, you now have something completely different, but the whole thing has changed. The entirety of God's people has changed. This is why you get to start, when we're talking about Israel, and this is the argument that Paul makes in Romans and Galatians, is why Israel isn't Israel. It's all people that are enveloped into this kingdom of God, right? The basic thing has changed. We're calling it the same thing, but the thing has changed itself. And I think that's more probably what it's pointing to than it is some ability to like grab a bunch of stuff and like, you know, slowly blob itself out into something that takes over the world. There are other things that speak to how his kingdom grows, but I think this is more to how God's people have changed and how it pervades that whole substance. You don't get to be half unleavened and half leavened bread. Like it's simply with that ingredient introduced, things have changed. I think that's what it's pointing to.
I've changed my answer to yes then.
Take that, Booba.
No contention.
Sorry, I needed an animositer on the other side, and you're my closest man.
That's
fine.
And
have the coolest name.
Hey,
so you're my automatic animositer.
Good to see you.
Okay.
Thanks for being on the Booba team.
You've interpreted that wrong, though. I didn't join the Booba team.
I know. I just try and make things seem like they're good to me.
That's why you saw such a positive spin on the halftime show when everyone else knew.
I did. I was like, yeah, man, Katy Perry.
Everyone else knows better.
I didn't hear Bruno Mars scream Illuminati now.
I also did not. I feel like I'm going to have to Google the halftime
show. I'm going to YouTube that over and over again hear him.
That means the psychos win. You can't look at it. You have to put a 6-week moratorium on looking up any references they may have made. Because if you go check it out on YouTube, like they've partially won. They've corrupted your mind. Could you think there might be something to that? And when you're going to prove them wrong, you're arguing with a crazy person.
It's a valid point.
That's also very unhealthy. 6-week
moratorium. I'm on this radio show, man.
What if he did say it? I mean, that doesn't really mean anything, right? Just means he did.
Just beware the yeast of the crazies, that's all.
Yeah. Beware the yeast of the crazies. Right.
There's all kinds of people giving out yeast.
Oh. Hey. Never mind. Scratch that. It was a random thought about Jesus being part of Illuminati, but I let it go. I feel like there might be an angle there, but let it stew. Let it stew for a while.
You'll need to research that.
I'm going to have to take a look. Luckily, the internets are at my fingertips.
Right. We'd certainly get more website traffic if that was the case.
Hey, I'm going to start keywording everything with the word Illuminati on it.
Local radio show talks about Jesus possibly being a part of Illuminati.
They forget the last part, which is after 20 minutes of discussion, no.
3.5 minutes later, all of them disagreed.
I did a tattoo of the Illuminati.
Really?
It said Illuminati on this guy's arm. And it was an ambigram, so it said it both ways. It said it right side up and upside down.
Yeah.
And I the whole time, I just kept thinking, you know who I know is not in the Illuminati? This guy. Because if you're in it, you're not going to get a giant tattoo on your arm.
I'm the enlightened.
Just are right out of the gate.
It's a disqualifier.
Right.
Like wearing a CIA t-shirt or something.
Hi, I'm Agent Engeldinger.
I'm undercover.
That guy's legit. All right. Hey, I came across this article about 10 things you can't say while following Jesus. I'm going to hit you with a couple and see what your instant reactions are, all right?
Okay.
Number one, there are no atheists in a foxhole. There are no atheists in a foxhole. So A, what are they intending to say?
Everyone who's facing their mortality believes in God.
Yes. So why can't this guy says we should? You can't say that while following Jesus. Why not?
What the heck ever?
That's not true.
Who cares about so much? I'm confused by why he's even written this article.
He says so. Here's what he said. He said there are atheists in church, and you honestly think there are no atheists in foxholes. And this actually goes back to a comment, so something that Dan said, and this has stuck with me. And frankly, Dan, I think you said this within like the first 6 months of us on the radio program, but you were talking about being a hospice chaplain.
Yeah,
and you said people die like they lived.
Yeah.
And so like when we say there are no atheists in foxholes, it seems to be directly opposite of what Dan Hudson has experiences.
I think that's like, boy, I might die. So then they're like, well, I better get some fire insurance. I'll be a Jesus man. But people who really know they're dying, they tend to not. They don't suddenly change. My experience.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the reason he's brought this up is like this can be harming. Is that we provide this as a source of comfort. Like, my brother Chuck is really on the outs. He's not feeling well. And he's always had issues with Jesus. And our set is comfort as well. Mabel, there's no atheists in foxholes. Everyone comes to terms.
I've never
with
heard anyone say something like that.
Here's the deal. I've been having this conversation a lot with my wife. I don't know that our experience is universal. Like, people do weird stuff. There, think of a lot of these, the church interactions that we're running into, and you're like, I've never seen anybody do that. There are people doing that.
So are they trying to suggest that everyone will come to a deathbed confession, and so everyone's going to get in? Is that what they're trying to?
That's what the phrase, there are no atheists in foxholes, is. He's saying we can't say that. That's stupid.
Okay, good. I'll chuck it out of my vocabulary.
Okay, Mike's out.
No problem.
Mike's out.
Well, it's kind of like you're not a legitimate atheist. You're just angry at God. When it comes right down to it, you'll have to believe if you know you're going to die. It's kind of what they're saying.
Does it matter either way?
You'll come to my scene.
I mean, there's no such thing as a legit atheist, right? So, like, even if you claim to be an atheist and you are just angry at God, you got problems either way, right? Does it really matter?
Yeah. Oh, God. He also, number five, is love the sinner, hate the sin. Says it's got to go. What are your thoughts on that phrase, Mike?
I don't know that I've said something like that. I mean,
I said, what are your thoughts on that phrase? Not your personal biography about how often you say it.
Well, I mean, if I believed in it, I'd chuck it out.
Snark pause. Dave Herrick, what are your thoughts?
I don't use it. I'm not sure why.
Hey, Herrick gave his biography. Why aren't you yelling at him?
Because he's much softer about it. You were a real beast about that last one for no reason. You've got glitter on your forehead.
I have ladies in my house.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So his advocation here was, period. Just love the sinner, period. He says after that, that's a them and God issue, not an R and God issue. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, part of sometimes presenting Jesus is a call to repentance, but I'd like to know what his reasoning of, like, just accept everybody, total tolerance, is that the idea, or is it just quit harping on the sin and just love the dude?
I think his point is that, like, it's not our sin to hate. Yeah. Like, it's God's sin to hate, and if the truth is that God hates it, fine, but it's not ours to hate. So, like, if we love the sinner, God hates the sin, like, actually, God is true for both. We're probably the only thing we can actually control is the number one. It's God's sin to hate. I think that's his point.
Because we've already kind of demeaned them by thinking, oh, you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Let me help you.
But I feel like you're kind of splitting hairs, because sin should turn your stomach.
Yeah.
And God hates it. So the difference between it turning my stomach and me hating it is what?
Right. I mean, think of the people in your life that are engrossed in some stuff, and like, you hate that on their behalf. You hate that sin that's grappled.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know.
I think that phrase is made for people who tend to hate the sinner. And so they came up with that phrase. No, just hate the sin, not the sinner.
You mean
to make them feel better?
I can still hate?
Yeah.
I can still hate, but I have to love this guy. Like, that's what it's the concession for that guy who really wants to hate something.
Gotta hate
and
something.
We're just trying to redirect him for a little bit.
Because honestly, we're just called to love the person and let everything else happen.
But rightfully so, I think it would include hating the things that's destroying them.
Yeah.
Like, that seems completely reasonable. Yeah. But you're right, that phrase seems more as a consolation for a guy who's got some anger issues in his life and really wants to be pissed. And we're just trying to give him a phrase that will make him feel better about his anger.
That's exactly how I've used it. Sad. I've used it. All right. I had to say it. Boove had to give his biography. You guys,
can we get some violin music?
You guys knew it was going to happen. I'm a prideful beast, all right? Hate the sin, not the sinner. But I've actually used that a lot. Like, it was a long time. I haven't used it within the last year, honestly. But I used to use it from the whole perspective of, you know, calling out people that seemed like they had a lot of hate for people. And I'm like, hey, man, you gotta hate sin. Love the sinner. Love the sinner. I mean, that's all it is. You can hate that sin. And it was a total cop-out. It's because I did not know how to explain the reasoning behind it. I had no way to say, you know, it's not your job to be the ultimate judge. Yes, you should hate sin. Yes, you should turn away from it entirely and all this different stuff. But I did not know how to explain that to someone who's just full of anger towards somebody for something that they were doing.
Well, and it's a weird distinction, right? Because, like, if we could accept the fact that everyone is a sinner, saying love the sinner is pretty non-distinct, right? It's love people. Yeah. There you go.
Love people.
Hey, I'm really upset this guy for such and such. Love people. The fact that he's a sinner is an irrelevant distinction in our broad scheme of how we understand life.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do one more before Mike gets upset.
Number eight.
I can't take conversations like this. I just don't know what to say.
I can't wait. I almost want to guess what your reaction's going to be.
Boova's life has changed because of the number of that last one. He'll never open his mouth wildly again.
What? I didn't know that we were in agreement that you can't use it.
No, Mike, you're still on board with it?
I don't understand what the problem is either way.
Mike, you're not good for these kind of conversations.
Love the person that's sinning? Check. Got it. Don't like the thing that's ruining their life and causing trouble? Check. What's the problem?
Do you think people use it incorrectly?
We're talking about the phrase itself. Whether people run with it and beat people over the head with it, that's not what we're talking about.
Isn't the article 10 things we should stop doing?
Yeah, but I mean, if you can use it correctly, I don't see what the problem is.
So basically, Mike is defending the poor, unfortunate phrase because people have hijacked it.
Yeah.
How dare you use this phrase incorrectly?
Yeah, exactly. All right, good.
I love you, Mike, but I hate what you say.
It's redeemable if it was used under different circumstances.
So it's just about everything, right? I mean, you can use anything for the glory of God, or you can use anything to stab a guy in the face. It just depends on how you use it.
Just like hate the sin, love the sinner.
How about number 8? God never gives us more than we can handle. You ever said that one? God never gives us more than we can handle.
It drives me nuts. That phrase drives me bonkers. Just because I feel like that's another one of those just really crappy cop-out things to say to somebody.
A platitude?
So the whole, you know, I'm going through a really rough time in my life, and you have no natural empathy for me, so your entire situation that you're going to say to me is, well, you know, God never gives us more than we can handle. Why? Why wouldn't
he? Incorrect.
That's completely incorrect. He gives us a lot more than we can handle so that we run to him.
Yeah.
Like, he is our rock. We're not our own rock. What kind of self-sufficient society are you trying to make and paint right now?
Haven't you ever read the Footprints poem?
I think the ultimate implication of that saying is that we're all our own God. I mean, like, you're the center of your own universe, and you can handle everything that's going on around you. I mean... Mm-hmm.
You're just couching it as at least God has done that.
Right. And well, I'll acknowledge that God did that for me. He created this thing for me.
This God here.
Right. I mean, that's what it's always implied to me.
Yeah.
It's running to the independence that you don't have. The whole, you know, God never gives you anything more than you can handle because he gave you a preset set of skills and emotions and strengths that you're going to be able to play off for all of your life. And he's set it all out for you to play off of that. No, he hasn't.
No.
He has said it so that you will be destroyed constantly. Like, your character will get tested. You will grow through the trials that you go through. You should expect that stuff. Stop playing it off like you're strong enough to handle it. Run to God, because he gives you that stuff for you to run to him.
Here's the deal. Like, think of every one of the post-Judas disciples who died violently for following Christ, and just as they're kind of nailing Peter upside down, you're like, hey, man, God never gives you more than you can handle, Peter.
He goes, this hurts a lot.
You can handle it. Hey, God already sure decided. Hurts. You're fine.
Hey, hang tight, Polycarp. All things are for a reason, and...
Don't be a sissy.
I'm just...
Don't be a sissy.
Like, I mean, I get it, right? Like, the point is to try to give you comfort that says, it's like a God's got this type of thought.
Yes.
It just moves the focus from God onto you, and the truth is like... If you trust God, God's got this. Could be you on the tree. Like, right. It could be someone setting fire to you. And so, like, if that is a consolation to you, then you understand God correctly. If it is not a consolation to you, no matter of I'm strong enough to handle this because God has prepared me, is going to change that perspective between you and the Lord.
Well, I think they're just misusing the scripture about temptation, that God won't give you more than you know, you can conquer this. You know, he's giving you a door out here. And they're like, well, hey, that's true with the trials, too. You know, we just kind of shifted over to that, too. You know, I think that might be the root of it. I don't know.
But. So really, you should change the phrase to, God won't give you more than he can handle.
Yeah.
And then we're
that's
fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Or God does as he pleases. Live your life.
That's what I like. That's kind of, I like to use that phrase. God will do as he pleases.
We can boil it down to love Jesus, all right? That's it.
Okay. All right, hold
you
on.
Got any more of these stupid phrases, Ben?
Hold on a second.
He's got like
Mike, you are so angry at this article. You are so angry at this article.
I just seriously, I mean, this is how the man spends his time. Here's you know, niche phrases that the Christian shouldn't use. Well, this is well worth your time writing.
Hey,
I mean,
love the author. Hate his sin.
Hey, man, this guy's
hate the article. Love the author.
This guy's got a bunch of them. He's got 10 things you can't do at Christmas by following Jesus. Hold
great.
On.
He spent his whole life doing this. Hold this on. Is fantastic.
Yeah, this is his job.
Hold on, I'm interested in this one. Let's see. Things you can't do.
His office is probably covered in post-it notes. I came up with this idea.
I made another list.
Okay, but this is
you think they're
go
based off
list.
His own experiences? Like he did them and like, man, I should have done that.
I really shouldn't have done that.
Let's go on the list.
I said that. Hate the sinners. I hate the sin, love the sinners.
No, I think he watches other people do it. And like, oh, you shouldn't do that. I'm going to write that on a post-it.
I live vicariously through you and make a list.
He writes it down. Shouldn't judge
Here's
others.
Where you're doing wrong.
Love you.
I said number 5 is 10 things you can't do at Christmas while following Jesus. Number 5 is forget those without presents. If you have 2 coats, give one away. In announcing the coming of Jesus, John the Baptist told us what God was asking of us. Coats were just an example, a placeholder, if you will. If you have two Christmas presents, give one away.
How's that work?
What do you mean?
I mean, is he just drawing a line around the house and, you know, don't look outside the house or...
Yeah.
Or
the neighborhood?
How does that, I mean...
The city?
Hey, man.
State? The country?
Pakistan?
I feel like not everybody's going to have the same size shirt as me.
I don't think
so
the homeless guy wants my
fire truck.
So if I'm
supposed to just give my
presents
away and I don't even know what's
in
there yet.
What if my dumbbells came in a set?
I feel like that's the white elephant kind of mentality.
Went away.
I got more than two presents. I'm going to go ahead and give the shake weight to that guy.
My mom used to do that crap. Like, Ben and I were twins growing up, right? And so she would buy two dumbbells and give one to Ben and give the other one to me.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Here you go, guys.
I had a beastly left arm. Mike had a massive right arm.
Here's one pair of
Poor
socks,
didn't
boys.
See that one coming.
Arm wrestling was imbalanced.
No, left hand again.
It's very shrewd. I didn't know the difference, actually. So, touche, mom.
Well, look, we both got one.
Let's see. Number three was get mad about happy holidays. On a related note, you know what holiday is short for, right? Holy day. Do you really have a problem with people calling Christmas a holy day? Zinga. Boom.
I just felt like I've devoted no time to the things he's talking about. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Maybe
holiday
he's making
is short for holy day. He's saying it's short for the same amount of letters, and they just switched an I to a or a Y to an I.
It is where the entomology comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy day. I didn't know that.
Holy day.
Yeah.
Boova, come on.
Yeah.
I'm glad I learned that. I did not know that.
But that's the
sound it out.
Yeah. July is a holiday.
I don't know if that's a holiday.
I mean, right. Like, you know, it's
America.
They secularized it.
Right.
America.
I just respond by Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Like when somebody says Happy Holidays, whatever, season's greetings, Merry Christmas. I celebrate Christmas. I don't know what you celebrate, but. You know, I'm not pushing anything on you.
Spreading
I'm just
east.
Saying.
This is what I say.
Right.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Don't put that God on me.
Don't you put that God on me.
I said one statement, man. Literally, I'm not trying to win you over to God by saying Merry Christmas. We're going to talk a little bit more into your life than that. Merry Christmas. Hey, man, leave me alone.
Number two was, okay, I got a good story on this one. Think that it is actually Jesus' birthday. You can't do that while following Jesus. So, like, I was talking to my oldest daughter. And she's trying to find ways. She's gotten very interested over the last 3 weeks of trying to find ways to influence people for Jesus. Some friends of hers, I'm afraid she's going to be a fundie. when they come here, we should read Bible stories. And I said, sweetheart, I'm glad to read Bible stories, but it may not have the impact you're looking for, right? Like if they're not. Bible stories are extremely interesting to me because I love Jesus and want to hear about them. So I said, like, that's part of why the things, some part of what we pray for at night is, like, help people to see Jesus in the things that, in the way that we're living our life, and for us to take opportunities to be able to share truth about Jesus with them. But, like, it's unlikely, it's not going to be a magic trick. You're not just going to be, like, you know, put them in a shirt that says Jesus on or something like that. It doesn't work that way. So anyway, she's gotten very interested, and so... After I kind of told her about, you know, here's kind of how you should think about it, she goes, oh, well, now I kind of feel like, did I push it on somebody? I said, well, why? What did you do? And she said, well, we were at school, and I said, they were saying, you know, what's your favorite things about this time of year? And she goes, it's Jesus's birthday. And then she said, the thing is like, as the class went around, you had to repeat everything everybody else said. So she goes, so everyone had to say it because I said it. Was that wrong? I said, sweetheart, no. I said, you live your life and you always say things that are true. And like, she goes, do you think I made anybody uncomfortable with that answer? I said, if it is a true answer for you, it is the right answer. And that is what you should always say. Like, I will never say something that I feel like is untrue or back away from what I believe or what I think, because I think someone will make it uncomfortable. The point, though, is that you want to show people how God loves them and how you love them. And so you can't do that if you are like saying, you know, if you hold them down on the playground and say you love Jesus or you get a punch to the face, like that isn't going to change people's lives. And so I said, no, there's no, you shouldn't feel bad about that at all, baby. That's true for you. And that's awesome. And don't ever feel like I'm asking you to not tell the truth about how you feel or what you believe. But just recognize is that like we want people actually to see Jesus. And sometimes if we just go about it trying to get them to say a certain thing or like make sure that we're reading a Bible when they walk in the room or something, like that won't those things don't really actually help people connect to Jesus. And I think she's getting it. Like, she's eight, so we're working through it. But it was real interesting because where she thought that she might have been pushy about Christ for having said she enjoyed that his birthday was in this time of the year. It's a real interesting time to have those kind of conversations with your kids of where, like, these are distinctions sometimes I'm struggling with. Where, like, I used to take my, like, during the day I work like a corporate job. And I generally bring my Bible with me because I was reading it over lunch and stuff. And I can read on my phone, but I prefer to read the book if I have the chance to bring the book with me. And it just sits out on my desk. And there was a time where I looked at it and I thought, like, it felt like a little cheesy, pushy, like, I just want people to know that I have the Bible. But, like, that was not my intention at all. And so I thought, this is what I do. I carry the Bible with me. I read my Bible. It stays here. I'm not really that concerned about the perception, even though there might be a guy three rows down who's doing the exact same thing for a completely different reason than I am. And I thought, I'm not going to stop living my life for Christ in this way simply because I think someone might feel like I'm trying to give them the shine on. However, I'll be honest with you, having that been the case, I get away with a lot more Jesus type discussions and language at my workplace because they have a base level assumption that it might come out of my mouth. Like, it's not a shock to say, oh, I had no idea Ben was going to say something like that. It's basically assumed. And so I get much less pushback than I think some other people do because it's readily believable that I'm going to say something like that at any given time. So anyway, I think there's no reason to say that it's actually Jesus' birthday. I don't think we have to give it up completely for the children if they want to enjoy that. But all right. All right. Anyway, hold on. Let me just make sure he doesn't have any more sweet lists at the end of this thing. Mike loves them.
Maybe this is what y'all think about all the time. I don't know. I just can't. Nothing he said, I'm like, man, good. He straightened that out for me.
Maybe think about this, Mike. So let's say, like, you're not thinking about it. But, the man obviously continues to, I guess it doesn't take anything to run a blog.
Nope.
But, he's got quite a few comments on some of these things. People are engaging in this type of thing. It's the type of question the church is dealing with. And maybe the root question is, these are stupid things that we're dealing with, which is probably accurate.
You know what the definition of a circle jerk is? It's where you get one guy rambling around in a circle doing nothing, and you invite 15 other dudes in there, and then they're just a bunch of people walking around in a circle doing absolutely nothing.
That's a offensive phrase, Mike.
No, it ain't.
I'm not sure that's the definition.
That's not at all what that is,
no.
Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's going to have to wait till the podcast.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to talk
about
that.
We'll handle that at the podcast. All right.
Yeah.
Change your ways.
All right. All right. Anyway, you about ready over there?
Yeah, hold on a minute. I got something coming.
I never thought that phrase would come out. Hey,
if you're listening on KTIA,
not that I've brought up some stuff that was mildly inappropriate for the Christian radio station, but Mike has jumped over the hurdle.
To anyone who heard that, we apologize for Mike.
I'm not sure I have any idea what y'all are talking about, but
I don't either.
We'll hit, that's probably a good thing.
Will
you
I get dirty
don't.
Pictures if I Google this?
Do not Google that. We'll hit it at the podcast.
Don't do it.
Go ahead,
Mike.
Dear
Life
that.
In the Path. I have a problem saying inappropriate things on the radio, apparently. I have a problem with blushing whenever I'm the center of attention.
I do too now.
Even this with just one other person, my face goes bright red. This even happens when I'm not feeling embarrassed. I've learned to cope with the feeling of my face flushing. What I'm having trouble with is people's comments about why my face is so red. I've never been able to come up with a good response. Telling that I'm not really embarrassed is met with skepticism. Please help.
Oh, that is tough. That is tough. I've met a few people like that who had a naturally red face, and you just assume they were reacting to their surroundings until you saw them a second time. Which would generally, you would assume the problem is primarily with strangers, right? Because, like, once you meet a guy the second time, he's got a red face, you can't assume he's perpetually
embarrassed. Well, no, but she is blushing, though, too. I mean, it's like their face is noticeably darkening.
So
that's what people are reacting to.
So she's not there all, she's
not
like that all the time.
It's not like she's got a pink complexion.
Oh, okay.
It's that because she feels herself flushing.
Oh, she's pale and she's turning red.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh. I used to do that when I was, like, a kid, like, especially when talking to adults. So I don't know if I was... intimidated or embarrassed or something, and all of a sudden I could just feel it. I could feel my face just warming up, and I'm like, ugh. I look in the mirror and I'm all red. I'm like, there was nothing to be embarrassed of. You know, I was just like, I just like suddenly turned red, you know. And
so she's just looking for something kind of witty that sort of disarms the situation.
Huh. I
would make up a crazy medical name for it. And I have this.
Yeah.
And then you say,
stick it to the meniosis.
Yeah.
I've got Beats disease. Beats.
The
go ahead,
laugh.
What's for dinner?
I've got tomato face. I don't know.
I've got tomato face.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah,
I just thought of a really weird.
There's nothing you can do about it. You just go with it. I mean, you just say, I mean, I wouldn't even bring it up. I
guess it is annoying though when like you've done that and they look at another person and be like, look, he's getting embarrassed. I'm like, all right,
yeah,
what?
I haven't had people do that to me. I'm like, oh, sorry, I really don't feel embarrassed, but I don't know what's going on.
You can't
say that though.
Then you'll just sound childish. You know?
Yeah, you sound like you're defensive.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. You gotta just let it go. Yeah. You should say aw shucks and do a big old hand movement and act like you've been totally caught. Aw shucks. Yeah, that's what you do.
Tomato face strikes again.
Yeah, just play into it. Otherwise,
I was thinking of that joke I had about you, but I'm not going to say it out loud because it's embarrassing. That's probably not going to work.
That's a real stinger.
No, because everyone's going to pry you for it.
Bazinga.
Yeah.
Secular's advice is, my advice is to be upfront and tell the questioner that you don't know why it happens, but you're not embarrassed. As you already know, blushing can happen if someone suffers from social phobia. In cases like that, counseling and support groups can help. However, because you find it happening when you are not pressured or embarrassed, discuss it with your physician to be sure that it isn't an underlying physical problem. Yeah, that's dead on advice. Here's the problem. Here's it in extreme form. This is probably you. Seek help.
Perhaps you have a medical problem, like tomato face.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Eosis. Dear Life from the Path, a few years ago, my husband and I had problems. Our marriage was going downhill, but we have recently managed to work things out. My problem is, I sounded off to my mom's, who had never held him in very high esteem to begin with. She told him she never wanted to see him again. She has finally accepted that we are a package deal, and she's happy that things are working out. She lives far away, so I don't see her often, but I'd like to pay a visit with my husband and children. When I approached my husband with the idea of seeing mom, he told me that a few years ago, she had sent him an email telling him she didn't like him. He is justifiably uncomfortable with going to see her. My husband is contemplating going for my sake, but I don't want to add any stress to the situation. Should I talk to my mom about it and ask her to apologize? Or should I just let things go? I don't like the idea of taking my kids and not my husband, and mom wants to see her grandchildren.
Okay, here's two steps. One, you talk to your mom, and you tell her to reconcile it. Two, you go visit her without the husband and the kids to make sure things are straight. And then I think you could. Then I think you take the family as long as everything's on the up and up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I would take it upon, you know, myself, be like, I didn't really have the right to spout off to you about this.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I made this situation worse than it needed to be. I created this bad feeling in you, and now I just want to reconcile it. You need to reach out to him because he's not going to reach out to you. You attacked him, and, you know, mm-hmm. you took what I said and made him feel bad about it. Like, I shouldn't have shared it with you. You shouldn't have shared it with him. Now the whole situation's out of control.
Yeah.
Like, you and I need to iron this out so that we can all coexist together.
Yeah.
Yeah, really the worst thing an adult child can do is talk to their parent about their spouse, because their spouse is already a little bit suspicious anyway. You know?
Always.
They're not good enough for my child. You know, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, see? You know, so it doesn't take much to take a parent over the top. I'm assuming, I haven't gotten to that stage yet. But they will always side, usually, with their own child. So, yeah, you can't share that kind of stuff. I realize it's too late now, but I'd go with what you guys said. I mean, you got to reconcile, have the conversation, everybody apologize. It's going to be awkward, but then move on. You got the rest of your life together. I mean, you got to fix it. You can't just ignore it.
Yeah,
you know?
Just have an elephant in the room kind of weekend, and then next time, next year, it'll
aren't
be better.
Aren't we silly?
Yeah.
Grandma, figure out something that you like about him. I don't care what, but you're going to learn to like him.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Just be honest. You were reaching out in anger because you thought you hurt my daughter, and I thought you hurt my daughter. I'm really sorry. I hurt you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I that's even viable, right? That's even a justifiable thing to say. My daughter was hurt. She had said some things to me, and I naturally, you know, wished to defend her. I was upset because I believe how you treated her. Like, if I'm on the other side of that, I at least get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I may not have appreciated what she had said. I may not appreciate what she had done. But, like, I can't completely misunderstand the thought of a mother attempting to defend their child in the way that I would do for my own children.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got children. You can be like,
"This."
Imagine in 10 years, your daughter comes to you and says these things about his spouse. What are you going to feel about that person?
Yeah.
Like, it's a normal it's a normal reaction.
But obviously, the husband and wife have said some things they both regretted because they were in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
right.
So they can get through this. They can.
Secular says, by all means, speak privately to your mother about this. If she could smooth things over by explaining to your husband that when she sent the email, she was a mother bear defending her cub, it may make the visit less uncomfortable for your husband. Fences need bending here, and it will take cooperation on everyone's part. In the future, I hope you will resolve your marital problems like the adult you are and not go running to your mother.
Well, that, kind of a real sass at the end there.
True, isn't it?
It seems right, though. All right, hey, you've been listening live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're on the Truth Network, we do appreciate you listening to the show, but we're going to have to let you go. If you're on the podcast, we'll be right back with you. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. I'm sorry.
Mike,
what you've said is disgusting.
That is disgusting and awful on all accounts.
I didn't know until I Googled it.
Did you Google it?
We hey, told you not that? To.
Well, I already did it. Yeah. Yeah, I just read the Urban Dictionary. Just a description.
Yeah.
I didn't look at any pictures.
Yeah, you don't. You don't.
I don't want to.
Don't want to do pictures.
I've been using that phrase all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Mike, I thought it was like.
It's like a homosexual.
Thought it was literally just a way to explain a bunch of people wasting time.
No.
It's a very specific way of wasting time.
Jerk as a sexual act, generally a bunch of fellas in a
circle. Is in like it's a group of dudes.
Guys doing it.
I've used that in mixed company.
We are a depraved society, all right?
That is disgusting.
I mean, bold, I've been using
I
that phrase.
Change you. Where? I didn't want to ask.
I don't even imagine how you go, hey, guys, this is a great idea. How do you even? Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
We're not
going
to talk about the initiation.
Anyway, Mike. I'd be real careful.
I've literally used that phrase just about everywhere. I thought it meant a good way to explain a conglomeration of people doing nothing. This is a very big mistake on my part.
No!
I should be embarrassed.
Actually, so people do use it that way because it basically it implies
that you're nothing not accomplishing
anything. Nothing is being accomplished.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
that's the connotation. But
the
that's
meaning
the,
is totally different.
Right.
It's not a couple of dudes.
God, this is one of the days you're glad you're not me. Because that's going to be quite embarrassing for me in the future.
Like, someday I'm literally going to compile all of the random situations that I have found either you and I in that is just you being so socially just awkward or awful in general.
Here's the deal. Until you point it out, I feel completely fine with it. And it doesn't bother me one
that's
bit.
Why we have to go 10 things Christians should stop saying.
Yes. I know, we can make our own list. We can go through the whole list. Yeah.
I'm gonna request that guy make a new list that is 10 things Mike Fu should not say on air.
Say what?
That
well,
is
give me an example
one.
Of what he says. Well,
that is number one.
We can't. All right. Here we go. One more.
Oh, yes. No.
That is very disappointing on my end. Here we go. You're live from the Path. I'm a 20-year-old woman who works in an office with people who are in their 30s and older. I'm nice to everyone and treat them equally. Many of my coworkers have children who are about my age. I take my job seriously and carry myself with respect. Lately, one of my male coworkers seems to be getting a little too nice with me. He brings me treats in the mornings and sometimes pays for my lunch. Sometimes he gives me these uncomfortable back pats, and sometimes even on my lower back. He is married with two kids. I've been turning down the breakfast and lunch offers, but he still seems to want me around. I'm not sure how to make these things stop. I don't want to get any supervisor involved because I don't want to jeopardize anyone's job. Please help me.
Say stop it.
Yeah,
stop
tell
it. Yeah.
Approach him straight up. I'm not comfortable with the direction that this is going.
Yeah.
Back off. I don't want to be involved.
Guys, don't take hints.
Yeah.
No.
Say it.
Yeah, he's probably kind of a sleaze anyway, judging by the way that he's acting, right? So he's going to be like, look, I didn't mean anything. Yeah. Say, well, good, I did.
It's back fine. It make your message clear.
As long as you clarify, like, your line in the sand. Like, the treats make me uncomfortable. The invitations to meals make me uncomfortable. Take your wife, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Turn it around and be like, you got a wife and kids. You're 10 or 20 years older than me. You're old enough to be my creepy uncle. Stop acting like it.
Both of my hemispheres are off limits. Go home.
Right. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Well, and certainly the lower back pats. You know.
That's
I mean,
weird.
That's the gropey touching thing. That definitely is. He's wanting that to be reciprocated.
Yeah.
So like you don't accidentally pat somebody's back in a way that makes them feel creeped out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, dudes are just creepy. Seriously, like, I mean, can he not see what he is, what he's doing?
Oh, no, I'm sure he fully
he knows. Yeah.
He knows exactly what's going on. He's just crap.
He's hoping that she's amenable or...
Okay, this is, since we're on the podcast, so I can say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a good friend who years ago worked at a place, whatever, office, and had a male it was a girl, and a male supervisor would come and rub his front on her hands and stuff.
Whoa,
I mean, like,
what?
His front, wow. You know, and just, yeah. And this was like before it was cool to say, hey, sexual harassment and stuff. And it was bad. It was just like nasty. And her husband had to come to the office one day and go, yeah, this isn't happening anymore.
Holy cow.
I can't, that's...
How could you even be so bold? I can't even look a woman in the eye and be like, hey, you look nice today.
Yeah. Nice shoes.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Stay like that.
Seriously. I don't... There's some bold fellas out there.
Oh, man, that's just gross.
The male ego is an outrageous item to the extent that, like, he's like, not only I thought of this, and this is going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do this.
Holy cats. Okay, here's a secular's advice. The next time this man puts his hands on you, tell him to stop because it makes you uncomfortable. Say it in a firm, clearly audible tone that can be overheard by anyone close by. Then document the incident with date and time. This should stop him. However, if he continues, you must immediately discuss the problem with the supervisor. Yeah, that sounds about right.
You wear a GoPro camera for proof?
I suppose if you wanted to.
Oh, man, I hate that only solves... I mean, it's not beyond... It's probably not... I don't know if it's her responsibility, I guess, or not. But, like, you know that solves her particular problem. But Pervo Jim over here is still wandering the office.
He's on the prowl.
Yeah, he's just going to move on to easier prey.
There should be a... Hey, we should open up, like, an 800 number.
Call us. We'll show up at the office, and we'll give him a good man talk.
We want Dial-A-Thug? Is that what you're saying? We just send one of our Christian males over there and go, hey, friend, here's what's going to happen.
We recently received a phone call about your perviness.
Yeah. We'll call
we're going to go ahead and stop that now.
Creep out the creepers.
Can't the people
think
of Jesus
being
be
creepy.
About that?
Wait till you see how creepy we can be.
I had a list created of the 10 reasons as to why you should stop being so pervy.
Here's the deal. You should only care about one of them. It's my fist. So keep
have
that in mind.
Have you ever been headbutted in the office before?
Well, okay, you're going to have to be careful how you go about this, but like...
No, I think me and Boova got it.
We kind of turned it into a fight club kind of deal.
I'm just saying, I feel like this is something God's people could be able to get behind. Like, we always have people calling random 800 numbers to pray with some woman sitting in her with an Afghan around her shoulders. But, like, I feel like we could do 800 dial of Jesus, though.
Yeah. Just,
hey, Jim keeps coming to my office, and he's talking to me inappropriately. I've had a discussion with him, but I feel like he might talk to others.
That he's not getting it.
And we'll just come out. We'll just wait in the van, wait till he leaves.
We need an enforcement wing of the protection of ladies. And if God's people, obviously it's not getting done socially right now. So maybe God's people take a stand. We get ourselves in an A team.
I'm 100% behind this.
Yeah.
Totally
I don't even,
in.
It doesn't even have to be all that violent. Like, to the extent that, like, it's just creepy.
Could it
like,
be a singing gram or something? We just show up and write some kind of really awkward song and
we love the
dance
sin,
it out.
We hate the center.
We can totally do a barbershop quartet at, like, creepy songs.
Here's that. We call the song Off Limits. Oh, we're back. Off Limits. We're back.
Off Limits.
Treats in the morning.
Yeah, you guys are taking this completely, completely another way.
So I wasn't sure where you're going with that one.
Yeah, there's no reason to escalate violence. We can escalate to awkwardness.
We're not using actual violence, but we're certainly implying.
You just, well, like that's
yeah, but
not
don't bluff.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not a bluff. We're not starting with violence. We're implying violence will happen if this continues, and if it continues, we will then deliver violence.
Second course.
Okay. What if they punch you in the face while you're going through your barbershop
punch
quartet?
You in the face? Off limits.
Yeah, message delivered.
Think of you matching t-shirts. There'll be no violence.
You're going to have at least one heavy in this group. That's
those guys are obviously associated.
I think you have like three or four guys that just walk around behind him and talk about him. Like, isn't it creepy when like dudes just walk up
you're
and
gossiping?
Just, like, yeah, no, just like we're not talking to you. We're not touching you, but we're not going to. Leave your bubble,
yeah.
And we're going to be back if you don't leave her alone.
That's pretty
hey,
cool.
Hey, Mike, did you
know,
hear
you
about
spent
Dale?
A half an hour with these guys, like, you know, subtly assassinating your character. You'll just be like, I really don't think I want the creepers coming back.
The peanut gallery of
judgment. Now, hold on a minute. If Jesus' intent of the heart is what he speaks about, and why are you assassinating me and then leaving Rick Gray's attempted assassination with verbal intent on the line?
His was funny. Yours was some sort of violence. His was just casual manipulation. Hey.
Casual manipulation.
Hey, did you see how Jim hit that stapler like he hits on the ladies in the break room? Yeah, his at least seems more witty. Yours is all brute force.
Have a drum roll app.
We'll be the verbal yeast team.
Don't touch the back. We'll say. Go ahead.
Verbal yeast. Not cool.
Okay.
Yeast infection squad.
Here we go.
All right, Dan.
Wow.
Did I give
Dan,
we need to delete this show. We need to delete it from existence and just get rid of it entirely. Here, we need to send out an announcement that says Live from the Path did not happen today.
I told you guys I had a yeast infection once tonight in my armpit.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Hey, Dan, you did say that, and it was on air, but, like, really, that was, like, before...
Before we had standards?
Yeah. We just wanted to be on the air.
Nowadays.
I remember that being really funny, though.
It was, yeah, it was freaky. It was weird.
Dan Hudson's medical commentary. Hey, man, it was weird.
Have you ever had a yeast infection in your
armpit? Normally treat those, or...
Try new.
Oh, you're right. You're right. We can't air it. It's gone.
It's completely gone.
All right, swear it up then, boys. I guess this one's out. Yeast infection in my armpit. Barbershop quartet gossip. Seriously.
Hey, man, that's creepy. I like it.
Yeast in the armpit.
Do you want
off limits?
Off limits.
Don't touch the yeast. Off limits.
Do you want to do one more?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well.
We're going to try and read
it.
Got
to move it up, right?
Dear Life from the Path, I'm 21 and confused. Yeah. My boyfriend, Ethan, and I broke up 5 months ago, but we recently got back together.
I think it's Ethan.
Okay. The problem is, Ethan hides the fact that we're together. I'm not allowed to put anything on Facebook or even comment or like anything on his page. He hardly even talks to me or comes to see me. And when we do talk to or see each other, we end up in a fight. We used to be great together, but things are no longer the way they were. Ethan insists he's not cheating on me, but it's hard to believe him because when we got back together, he had been talking to a girl who lives a few miles away from him.
Yeah.
I don't want to end our relationship. Ethan says he loves me and doesn't want to leave me, and I don't know what to think anymore. Wow. Any advice?
Can I go ahead and just jump right on this one, guys?
Go ahead, Boo.
Please.
All right. Close to that age group. He's an idiot. He's a complete and total idiot. And no offense to you. Well, offense to you. You're an idiot, too. Why are you with him?
Sorry, Boo. This is where you're wrong. They're not together.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're not together.
They're not together. Yeah.
You are now the other woman.
Gain some self-esteem. I mean, come on. Seriously, have some form of self-worth and go, Ethan, or Ethan, you schmuck. You mean nothing to me. I mean nothing to you. Let's be adults and never talk again.
This guy
is a joke.
He doesn't want to break up because you're not currently dating.
No, I think that Mitch Hedberg joke says it best. Like, he doesn't have a girlfriend. He just knows this chick that would be pissed if she heard him say it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Seriously. Dude, Ethan, grow up. Seriously, man. I will call 1-800-THUG-GANGSTER-CHRISTIAN.
Yeah. We'll send the barbershop boys over to tell you what it's really like.
We will talk to you.
Ladies. Off limits.
Seriously, man. Grow up. You are a child and a joke. Seriously, you are making every one of us. We cannot stand picking up after you because you are a joke.
Ethan.
Ethan.
Ethan, why?
Ethan.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. It's not him who's delusional here, right? Like,
no, it's the gal.
This is totally on the woman. You're not speaking to the man. The man is obviously set in stone the way that he's acting. She is, I mean, literally holding on to nothing.
Right, and he's playing both ends. I mean, he's just getting as much out of her as he can until...
Yeah. What man wants to juggle two ladies?
Inevitable.
One is very difficult to deal with on the whole. Two has got to be about impossible.
But he's not dealing with her. He's just...
He's ignoring her, getting what he wants, and then
gets into fights.
They worked together for 5 months. He was bored. Like, that's what happened. He was like, well, I remember that gal I was with 5 months ago. I'm not really sure what her name was. I should probably look up her Facebook and then figure that out before I contact her again. But I'm bored. Let's see if she's willing to be in some kind of relationship with me, and we'll pretend like it actually is real. Grow up, both of you.
Move on.
Yeah, he's already broken up with you. It's just time to accept that.
Secular advice to Ethan. Yes. Wake up, honey.
Oh, that's to the girl.
Yeah, right into the lady. Yes, wake up, honey. The relationship you cherished with Ethan is over. A man who is in love with a woman sees and talks with her often and doesn't hide from her from the world or get into a fight with her every time he sees her. That he would forbid you to mention that you are back together on Facebook and refuse to permit you to comment on his post is a huge red flag. Maybe. She might be an overposter or want to dramatize their lives all over the net. That's really annoying.
That could have been why they broke up.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not a good reason to leave Ethan, But, like, some people like to put all their business up onto Facebook. It's really, really catty.
Yeah, but even changing her status to in a relationship?
Still a bit much.
That's a bit much?
My Facebook thinks I'm single. They only know I'm married because my wife told them.
My dad ain't no Facebook official conversations.
It says,
a generic picture.
You asked my advice, and here it is. Take a giant step backward and see a Than for who he is. A person who doesn't tell the truth and is very likely a cheater. If he was sincere, he'd be telling the world the happy news about your reunion. Yeah, that's not true. Maybe keep things tight to the vest.
They keep fighting. How happy is their reunion, really?
It just he's not a town gossip doesn't mean he's a bad man.
No, yeah. Stop trying to defend him in any way, Mike.
I'm just saying, Facebook vomited. I can't take no order.
No, that's not a good standard. I mean,
tell everybody about your business all the time. Blah. All
right. You've been listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. Hide your kids, hide your wife. Live from the Path is on the air.
Wow.
We run a podcast. I
really?
Will, that's the second time I've said that about some sort of this week, actually the last 2 days, about an event in which I was speaking at.
I can't hide away.
All right, thanks for listening to Live from the Path. We'll see you next week. Yeah, have a good week.
Sorry.